Hello, everybody. Can you put your hands together for the whole Equip Conference? Hasn't it been a blessing? Come on, thank the Lord for it. It's been fantastic. Jordan and I have had so much fun being here, and today we got to try some Swedish meatballs, y'all. So we had a little cultural experience, and it was delicious, so that was fun. He got to go to the Mall of America. That was an experience. That was fun. And I hope that it's been a positive experience for you, that you've met a few new friends, got to connect with those that you previously already knew and had relationship with, and that you've had some God moments, whether through a hallway conversation, a breakout session, or maybe time just responding around the altars. I know that God used Johnny Wilson to speak to all of our hearts, and so hopefully you've had some things already that have happened that have encouraged you. And yet I want to say this in this final session. I know that many of you have great responsibilities, some even tonight when you get back home preparing for tomorrow. Others of you have quite a drive to get back to where you serve and to your community. And so I thought it might just be Pastor Mark in here in this final session. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna preach my heart out because Pastor Mark might need to hear this. And so I was prepared for it to just be us, but I am blown away. Because it's just, and that's nothing against anybody who did have to get back, because sometimes just logistically that's a reality. But the fact that you are here in this final session and you have not checked out, you have not moved on, it just speaks to your desire to receive all that God has for you. Your hunger, your commitment to posture yourself to say, Lord, if you have it prepared for me, I want to position myself to receive it, and I just want to celebrate that in you and say, way to go. And if you're expecting God to move, can we just thank him in advance? Come on, put your hands together because you showed up. You're here for this last session. If you're taking notes, I think it'd be cool if you are. You can write down at the top of your paper. It's about who, not what. It's about who, not what. Your greatest contribution to God's work, I believe, will have to do more with a who than a what. Our God is a relational God. Can you say amen to that? He didn't need people, so he created them. He wanted us, so he created us. He's a relational God. And he made us all so unique and so different. As a matter of fact, why don't you just turn to the person next to you right now and say, you really are different. You really are. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you, my brother, you, my sister, are another level. You really are. Out of 8 billion of us, there's only one of you. Because God made you, he looked at you, and he said, that's enough of that. And he just moved right along. God made you, and he likes you, but he didn't make everybody like you. Because that's enough of you. But he made us all so unique. We have some in here who are introverts. We have, notice they don't say anything. You say, we have introverts in here. They won't even make eye contact with you. They'll just look down. Some are extroverts in this room. You don't have to call for it. They're going to cheer no matter what. Get a lot better amens from extroverts. We're all different. And God did that on purpose. But he put all of us in the people business. As ministers in God's work, we're called to love people, to serve people, to reach people, to care for people. Because God cares about people. Jesus, as is recorded in Matthew chapter 9, he saw the group of people hurting, hopeless, and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the problem that people had, and his solution was to send people to do something about it. Today will be a little bit teachy in that I'm going to stick to my notes and walk down through this, just this thought of God using people to minister to people. But I hope that you'll dial in and listen. So not a whole lot of stories, not a whole lot of illustration per se, but I can tell you're a very spiritually mature group and you're just hungry. You're just ready for the meat and potatoes. So thank you for being such people of depth. Let's get into this. Matthew chapter 9, if you're ready, say uh-huh. Come on, if you mean it, say oh yeah. Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why was his heart stirred? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw people the way we're supposed to see people. He sees people in their brokenness and it breaks his heart. We see people in their brokenness and it gets on our nerves. Man, you're acting crazy. It's because they are crazy. We're all a little crazy. We're all broken. We all have issues. The person next to you, if you knew half of their issues, you would not have sat next to them today, I promise you. Scary issues. Some of y'all, that just hit a little too close to home. That's a nervous laugh right there. It's just... So verse 37, it says, so he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. So I'm going to send some angels. Does it say that? The harvest is plentiful, so I'm going to wave my hand. The harvest is plentiful. I'm going to rain down fire from it. The harvest is plentiful. I'm going to send. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest. Here's what I want you to ask for. Here's the solution. Therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And check this out. Here you are. You are the answer to the prayer of Jesus Christ, his charge to his disciples, and here you are. Here I am. And if you're anything like me, I can get so caught up in the stuff that I forget about the people. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. That's you. That's me. What did he just call you? These are the gifts. You're a gift. Verse 12. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Catch this gift. Catch this answer to the prayer for the great harvest. Is that our role is not just to do, but to develop. It's going to be very, very practical today. It's not just to get something done. It's to equip so that collectively we can do what he's called us to. Look at verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That does not happen if you, sir, ma'am, gift, answer to the prayer, if we do not do what we're called to do, if we just have our own thoughts, our own perspective, our own mindset of what it looks like to do church work instead of what does the Bible say. Here's how we're supposed to operate as shepherds of God's sheep. Well, what does that look like? And I would suggest to you it's more about a who than a what. So I want to talk in some very practical terms about what it looks like to equip, to raise up, to develop. Some might even call this like a leadership pipeline, which is a very biblical and a very spiritual concept. And yet some people hear it and they could be intimidated by it or don't fully understand it or don't really know what to do with it. And yet I want to talk about it for just a few minutes together today. And the first question that I'd like to answer is, what keeps us from developing this leadership pipeline? What keeps us from prioritizing the next who and developing the who and getting so caught up in the what that we miss out on the who? What keeps us from developing a leadership pipeline? I think one thing could be, number one, we don't know how. Again, speaking out of just my experience and kind of growing as a leader, if I was at a conference like this and somebody talked about the importance of a leadership pipeline just the way it started for me, I would have been so insecure, so intimidated, feeling like everybody else had it figured out and I didn't, because I don't know what a leadership pipeline is. I don't know what to do with a leadership pipeline. So I just want to make it plain. I want to make sure that we're all synced up together and for you to realize it may not be as intimidating as it sounds. A leadership pipeline is simply this: a process by which we discover, develop, and deploy spiritual leaders. We're talking about a spiritual leadership pipeline. What are we talking about? It's a process by which we discover, develop, and deploy our leaders. And it took a little time to get this ingrained into the hearts of our leaders in our church to develop a strong spiritual leadership culture, but it's become something now that's very common to us. It's not easy to do per se, but it's certainly not complicated. So you don't have to be intimidated by it, but you do need to be deeply committed to it. Can I get a good amen? Here's a second thing that I think keeps us from developing as we should. Number two, we can oftentimes see it as a luxury rather than a necessity. In a talk like today, hearing this session, we can hear it and go, well, that sounds interesting, or that sounds lovely. Well, that's cute. You know what? It'd be neat if we did that sometime. Maybe. I'm so busy trying to get something done. I'm so busy trying to put out fires. I'm so busy just trying to keep my arms around this thing. We can see it as a luxury, but I'm saying to you today, we don't have the luxury of seeing this as an accessory. The thought of this responsibility of me being a leader who develops leaders must be a conviction, because it is my biblical mandate. My role as a gift to the body of Christ is to equip people. It's something that I have to understand is from the Lord. There's a third thing that I believe that oftentimes keeps us from doing it as we should, and it's this: that we're so focused on the immediate, we struggle to plan or to have vision for the long term. So focused on the now, we don't have time to think about even what's next. And yet we have to look ahead. And as pastors, as church leaders, we are often so guilty of not thinking the very way we spend our lives trying to get those that we're leading to think. Have you ever thought about this, that when it comes to preaching, we're trying to convince people, hey, we get it, sin is fun for a season, but we're trying to get them to think beyond the moment, right? That's what we're trying to get them. Don't just think about in the moment. Think beyond that. Think long term. And we're trying to get them to think about heaven. Like, don't get caught up in this world. You got to think long term. Think eternity. And yet what I feel like, an old saying that my papa Mashburn, my mom's dad, my grandfather, my papa used to say it this way. He'd say, hey, I want you to take my advice because I'm not using it. That's what he used to tell me. And it was just so funny. It would make me laugh. But I think that's what we do a lot of times when it comes to spiritual leadership. We're trying to get our congregation, think long term. But look at my life. I'm just trying to survive this week. We have to think long term. So what does it look like to build out this leadership pipeline? Let's make it plain. Let's make it easy. The first thing that I would say is that aspect of discover. So leadership pipeline, we discover, we develop, we deploy. Discover. Some of you may recognize the name Kurt Warner, former NFL player. Wave at me if you know who I'm talking about, Kurt Warner. So most of you do. If you're not into sports, you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So he used to play in the NFL, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl, MVP. And so if you were to say today, he sounds like a great guy, I'd love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with him. Ain't happening. The brother's successful. He's got so much going on. If you, well, that just sounds neat. I'm willing to buy. Like, I'll take him over to Caribou. I'll pick up the tab. But you can't sit down with him. You can't get him up on the phone. You can't have a conversation because of all that he's accomplished. But there used to be a time where you could have easily had a conversation with him. It's when he was working as an adult, as someone who wanted to be in the NFL. He was working stocking shelves at the Hy-Vee grocery store. So if you wanted a little time with Kurt Warner, just go over there to aisle number 4. Just go over there. There he is right there putting the mini wheats on the shelf. There he is. What you want to ask him? What do you want to talk to him about? But here's the thing. If I had at that time gone to Hy-Vee to get my mini wheats, I wouldn't have even seen Kurt Warner. I'd have just stepped all over him, trying to step around him, I'm just here to get my mini wheats, not even knowing the greatness that was right there. And that's a lot of times what we do in the church world. Focus on some things and not even realizing what is around us. A lot of us are going, God, just send us workers. Anybody need another worker or two, another leader in the kids area? Anybody who's like, yeah, I could use 2, 3, 30, 40 more kids workers. You know what? I hadn't met a church yet. I was like, not us. We just got this waiting list. It's so difficult. People begging to get in. We're like, I'm so sorry. We can't use you this week. We'll be happy to add your name to the waiting list and get you in as soon as we can. Lord, send them. And you know what I believe the answer from heaven would be if we really dialed in? They're in your lobby. You just walked all over them, right past them. Not paying attention to what God has already given us. And we're saying, hello, good to see you. Thanks for coming today. Oh, what's your name? Bob, good to meet you, Bob. What's your name? Sue. Oh, hello, Sue. Nice. Oh, Lord, would you just send us some workers? Sent you Bob. Sent you Sue. You just saying hello. Now, Dave, it's a couple of questions that will help you to discover. Number one, do you even know what you're looking for? What about those that you lead? I get it that in here today we have senior pastors, we have youth pastors, worship pastors, we have missionaries, we have church planters, we have different leaders working with different ministries, but for all of us as spiritual leaders, we are called to equip the saints for the work of the Lord. We're in the people business. Can you say amen to that? We're building teams so that we can equip people who go on to equip people. And so don't even think about this simply through your own eyes, but what about those that you're influencing? Do you know what you're looking for? Does your team know what you're looking for? Because if you don't know what you're looking for, it's hard to know when you found it. A great exercise may be to have your team to write out what it is that they're praying for and looking for. The leaders are there. Pay attention. They're all around you. Number two, where will you discover them? Many leaders, many churches are just waiting for somebody to show up and to come up to you and say, hello, my name is John. I'm just looking for a way to get involved. I'm just looking for a place to serve. Well, you say, well, that's great. I'd be glad to accommodate that. Instead of living with this God-given responsibility that I'm supposed to go and I'm supposed to, just like a disciple, go into all the world as a spiritual leader, I'm going to look for people who have not yet found their place of calling or fulfillment of God's plan for their life. God has given you everything. Hear this. This is for somebody today. God has given you everything that you need in order to do what he's called you to do. You're not waiting on any resource that has not come yet. And because it's not there yet, you cannot do. It's hindering. It's prohibiting you from doing what God has called you to do. I would do it, Lord. We just don't have the people.
as if God's going, I forgot about that. That's my bad. I didn't connect the dots. I called you to do it. I just didn't realize you don't have what you, that's on me. That's not what God thinks. Whatever he's called you to do, he's given you everything that you need to do it, even in the area of leaders in your church. He wants that youth ministry to run and flourish and thrive and do what it's supposed to. And it would if we just had a little bit more budget. If that senior pastor just give us a little bit, we could turn this world. No, you have everything that you need, youth pastor, to do what God has called you to do. Children's worker, first impressions. If we just had somebody who would show up early and here for production or here for the worship team. No. God's given you everything that you need. You're like, no, we don't have a drummer. We need a drummer. Somebody in your church knows how to play the drums. You just hadn't found them. How do you discover them? Where will you discover them? Let me give you a few examples, a few ideas, and this is just what we've done to create a leadership culture in our church, which is a very spiritual effort. We watch for them and we look for them in Growth Track. Many of you are familiar with Growth Track. You've implemented that. It's just a way to help people in our church body, our church family, that God sends to us to practically help them take a next step. So whether you utilize that or something else, just the question would be, are you expecting them just to come up to you and say, hello, my name is Roger and I play the drums. Just curious if you could use one, or are you putting things in place to where you can discover the people that God's already brought to you? Look into the Grow Track or something similar, but give a step. Newcomer's Lunch. We do a newcomer's lunch. What are we doing? Helping people to assimilate into the life of the church. Helping them to catch the heart, the picture, the vision, the mission, the direction of our church and how they can play a role in it. And we're giving them simple, easy steps to become needed and known. They understand that they are known, they're valued. We see you, we care about you, and there's a place for you here. Growth Track, newcomer's lunch, hallways. Question for you. What is the lobby plan for your worship team? What would you say? Maybe you don't have to say it out loud right now, but what would you say? We're just sitting down over a cup of coffee and I said, hey, what's your lobby plan for your worship team? Most of us would not have one. And sometimes when we were first trying to implement this in the church where I serve, there were leaders who were a little bit just hesitant. They're like, man, I just don't like the way this feels. It just feels so forced. You know, this just feels like I'm just like pressuring people. And it just feels like, man, they could resent this because I have a wrong motive. I'm just trying to use people. And here was my response to that. Are you trying to use people? Because if you are, you need to repent right now. Like, we'll call for the keys. You just need to find a place for you. Why are you trying to rip? Why are you? That's unkind. That's wrong. What's up with your heart? Because if it's a wrong motive, you shouldn't be doing it. But no, that's not my heart. Oh, so you've got a good heart. So what is your heart? Is your heart that you realize that God has called you to equip the saints for the work of the ministry? Is your heart that where you go in and you meet somebody and you go, you know what? I'm a gift to the body of Christ, and here's a responsibility I have. I need to see the God call on your life. I need to see the potential that God has for your life. I need to give you a place where you can flourish and thrive and become who God has called. I'm not looking for something from you. I have something for you. If that's the attitude of your heart, now I'm not asking you to do something for me instead of me looking at you going, oh, thank you so much for serving in the nursery. Oh, my word. I don't know what we would have done without you. Now instead, I have people coming to me saying, thank you so much for seeing what I didn't see in myself. Thank you so much for calling me to a place of service to the kingdom of God so that I can be who he created me to be and I can do what he created me to do. Do you see the difference today, church? There's a shift that has to happen in your perspective and the way that you view it. I mean, this is no joke. I know I'm a little bit weird on this. I know this is a little bit extra, but I'm shooting straight with you. When I'm out to eat, like if I'm talking to a server and they just have good people skills, just the way my mind thinks, I just look at them and go, they make a great greeter. That's just the way I think. You're like, no, you don't. Yes, I do. Because I'm just always thinking, you're made for a purpose. You're made for a reason. And so I'll say to somebody, sir, I've done this before. I'm like, man, you have incredible people skills. Do you have a church that you go to by chance? If they don't, I'm like, love to have you come. I just think God's given you a really incredible personality that can make a difference in the lives of others. And you might think, man, why don't you just eat your cheeseburger and leave her alone? You know why? Because God didn't wake me up today because he wanted me to eat another cheeseburger. He woke me up today because he says, I'm sending you. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. I want you to go and be a worker. I want you to equip the body. I want you to be a leader of leaders. Watch. Discover what I've already put all around you. You're just so busy with the budget, with your to-do list. Writing that sermon, they're all around you. Like, excuse me. Yes, no, this is interrupting me. This is getting my way. I'm trying to write a sermon right here that's going to change the world. I'm trying to get this done. And we're not seeing that God has sent us everything that we need. Come on, tell your neighbor right now. He's talking to you, so don't you act like he's not. He's talking to you right now. Here's the second thing. Quickly, not only are we to discover, but number two, we're to develop. Now, this one takes some hard work, y'all. It's a little bit of the messy part of the leadership pipeline when we go to develop people. But here are three questions. Let me give them to you quickly of what we need to answer as it comes to developing people that God sends to us. First thing, what I would just ask you is, when will you develop them? And so for me, and my leadership, and our teams, we think in terms of annually, quarterly, monthly, and weekly, what does it look like? Well, I just thought, you know, they'd grow, we'd encourage. I just, no, what's my plan? Let's be intent. Why would I be so intense? Because it matters. That's why I'm still here. I'm a gift from God to the body of Christ. I take this seriously. I want to pay attention, not just hoping that it's going to happen accidentally. How am I going to develop the people that God sends to me? When will you develop them? Second question is, how will you develop them? So if I were to ask you right now, what is your development plan for whatever ministry that you're leading, whatever your role in God's kingdom work, what is your plan for developing the people that God's brought into your life and into your influence? And if you cannot answer that clearly and definitively, don't feel shame or guilt. Don't feel like, I guess I'm just a loser. No, there's no shame or guilt. But let it be an indicator to you that there's opportunity for you to clear that up so that you can be more effective in developing leaders around you. Here's another question I would ask when it comes to develop. How are you measuring the effectiveness of developing the leaders? Like, how do you know if the team that God has entrusted to you, the leaders that you're leading, how do you know if they're winning? Now, I'm going to give you something right now that for some of you, you're going to feel like, that just sounds so secular. That just sounds so corporate. That just sounds so business. And I can get that sentiment. I can understand why some people may view it that way initially. But I would suggest to you that this is not so much an attempt to bring the corporate world into the church world as much as it is to say, I want to bring my absolute best to whatever it is that God's entrusted me and called me to do. And I don't believe that faithfulness equals activity. I think that faithfulness equals fruit. You believe that? I don't think it's just a matter of, I put on the jersey and I just sat here till Jesus came. Here am I, Lord, I'm just right here. I think it's get in the game, pay attention to your contribution, work on your free throws, get in the weight room. It's not by might, not by power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, I think he'd be okay if you started meetings on time. If when it comes to the budget, you brought in more than you spent out, I just think he'd be honored. I think he'd be pleased. Because a lot of times what we're praying for is just like, God, pour out provision. Lord, he's like, Lord, send the money for the church. He's like, I'm going to send you a Dave Ramsey podcast. That's what you need. You need a Dave Ramsey podcast. We're praying for a breakthrough, and he's saying, try a budget. Like, I'm just calling it like it is today. So when it comes to faithfulness, it's not just I'm doing stuff. The question is, am I producing fruit? Every good tree bears good fruit. I'm not trying to get secular. I'm trying to be intentional. And so one of the things that we do is that we'll set annual goals. Hey, with the Lord's help, what would we love to accomplish as a team this year? What do we feel like God's calling us to do? What would that look like in terms of an annual direction or focus? Now let's back it up and let's have some quarterly goals that can help be indicators if we're on the right track or not. And then we back that up to monthly. What could that look like this month? We just talk about that as teams. And you know what that does? That allows us to create priorities, because for some of us in church ministry, everything is priority. We just go down, we got to do this, 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 got to do this. What's important? What do we need to prioritize? All of it. I just got to do all of it. And then we get done down this, and we get very little of it done. But instead, if we step back and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me and lead me and guide me, and what should we be focused on? What should we be prioritizing? And then we celebrate and we evaluate. Talked about that a little bit yesterday. Why do we do that? Because we believe what we do counts. Here are just a few guiding principles when it comes to developing our team that have helped us just to raise up the culture of this pipeline in our church and our ministry. Here would be one: proximity and longevity are two of your best developmental tools. Proximity and longevity are two of your best developmental tools. In other words, when it comes to developing someone, there is no substitute for proximity. In other words, close enough to speak life when somebody's heart is heavy. A lot of times, here's how this plays out in church work. Somebody comes and they say, hey, I'm not going to be able to keep doing what I'm doing anymore. I know I've been working with the junior high boys, but I just need a break. I'm just tired. I'm just burned out. You've never heard this at your church before, but other people in this room, this has actually happened. This is a true story, just never at your church where a leader has ever said, I'm just tired and I just need a breather. But a lot of times, here's what leaders go, it's like, man, I don't know why they left the church. I don't know why they stepped out of ministry. You know why? Because I was not close enough to get a read, to be able to see that look in their eyes that goes, you know what? They need love. They need encouragement. They need somebody to pastor them right now. That's development. Like, that's helping them to grow. And I had one conversation with one of our leaders who just said, hey, I'm going to need to take a break. And because we had proximity, they were talking to me on the front end. And so I said, well, tell me what's going on in your heart. Tell me what's going on. Well, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. And instead of, a lot of times as leaders, we'll just say, all in the name of, well, I don't want to pressure. I don't want to burn out. It's like, okay. But no, I'm called to pastor. I'm called to equip. And so now I'm in problem-solving mode to help them to determine, do you need a day off? Do you need a week vacation? Do you need a sabbatical? Like, for a long time? Like, helping them to gauge. Why? Because it's my job as a leader to help them navigate. And I said, hey, why don't you do this? When I hear you talk, I think you just need to catch your breath. Why don't you just take the holidays, we're moving into Christmas, why don't you just take through Christmas, like, man, just get some rest. Let's get back together on the other side of this, and let's just see what the Lord's up to. So holidays came, we got back together. I'm like, how are you doing? They're like, I'm doing great. You feel like you're good to stay in the youth ministry and continue? Man, I've been missing those students. Yes, let's do it. And all of that I'm saying is, if there had not been conversations in proximity that helped me to have the privilege of pastoring, you just lose another. There's no substitute for that kind of proximity. Sometimes when you have that close proximity, you see someone who's getting off track. This is where the bullseye was painted. This is the direction, and they're getting off track. You don't see it. You don't know it until game over, and you look up and like, ooh, we got 0 points on the board. And now it's really tough because they feel like they failed. You're frustrated, but it's too late to do something about it. How many of you know it's a lot more fun to win than to lose? A lot of people stop serving in our ministry because they're just tired of losing. Nobody wants to be on a losing team. Hey, just this ship is going down. We're all about to just like die on this thing. Just love for you to join us. Would you please consider serving in this kids ministry with us? They're like, I'm good. You know, no thanks. I think I'm all right. People want to win, which means I've got to be close enough to go, are we taking steps in the right direction? Let's course correct when it's just a few degrees off instead of games over. And now we're going, well, I guess that didn't work out like we hoped. So many ministry stories I could tell you right now. If time permitted, we could just have one big group therapy session right now, but I'm not going to do it. Proximity and longevity. What does this mean? Ministry flows out of relationships. Relationships take time. So if I'm going to pastor someone effectively, I have to spend time with them relationally. And then you quickly bump into your limits and you realize, but I can't spend time with everybody. That's why we have to understand that I'm just not called, not only, I'm not called to do, I'm called to equip. Some leaders think that they're great leaders because they're looking for doers. I'm not doing, I'm a leader. I'm looking for a doer. But another level of leadership would look at it and say, no, I'm not looking for doers, I'm looking for leaders. But effective, fruitful leaders realize that I'm looking for leaders of leaders. Why? Because the greatest development takes place with proximity and with time, and I can't be close to everyone. See, true disciples make new disciples. That's the Great Commission. Ephesians 4 that we just looked at, great leaders realize I'm here to equip, but I have limitations to me. So I'm going to value something that we could label or frame up as a leadership pipeline because this matters and it's important to me. I prioritize it. So proximity, longevity. Here's another one. Lead from where they are, not from where you are. Oh, this is a big one right here. If you've tuned me out, I hope you enjoyed the break. Welcome back. Okay, dial back in with me. I need you on this one right here. Lead from where, those that you're trying to influence, lead from where they are, not where you are. For those of you that are parents and your children have ever done something before, and I've asked this before, and you say to your kids, you're like, what were you thinking? And it's funny when you look at them in the eyes and you realize, or maybe they'll tell you, I wasn't thinking. You're like, okay, well, I had told you this, but this is what you heard, or this is what you did, and there's a breakdown. If I'm going to parent effectively, I've got to meet them where they are and then back up from there. It's the same thing for leadership. Just because you said something does not mean that they caught what you wanted them to catch. Just because I told you the expectations does not mean the expectations were clear to them. So if you're going to be effective in leading, you've got to learn to lead from where they are, not from where you are. Most all of us tend to think from our own vantage point instead of going, I wonder what this looks like to them. Leads to another thought. Value open, honest, and safe communication. Because you can't lead from where they are if you don't know where they truly are. You can't lead for, so proximity and time, I'm listening and paying attention to what's heavy on your heart right now. And if they're at high points in their life, as a good shepherd, as an effective pastor, I'm there to celebrate the highs. And when they're going through difficulties and low points in their life, as a pastor, as a good shepherd, I'm there to walk with them through the lowest of their lows. Why am I doing this? Because I'm trying to fill a slot. I'm trying to get a drummer. I'm trying to manipulate somebody into serving in the nursery. Then you need an altar. But if your heart is, God has called me to care for people, you cannot care from a distance. You got to be close enough, dialed in enough to know and value open, honest communication, safe, make it safe for them to say. And I walked some of our team members through this the other day, a team member who said, no, I heard what they were saying. I just didn't know what they were meaning, and I was afraid to say, I'm confused. Because there's a meeting with it. I said, then you know what? That's on us. Because we didn't create a safe enough place for you to say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. How many of you have had situations, though, to where even though they didn't say it on the front end, on the back end, you realize they did not have a clue what you were talking about? We all do. But as you're developing, that's one of the things that you'll be committed to doing. So we talked about celebrating and evaluating. We talked about tracking down the breakdown yesterday. Listen, if you can't find it, you can't fix it. Our goal is not activity. Our goal is fruit. Here's the last thought on this one, and then I'm going to give you the final point. But on development, keep your team encouraged. Keep your team encouraged. I would like for you just to take 30 seconds right now. I'm putting you on the spot. Just turn to the person next to you. Take 30 seconds and speak life over them. Go. Come on. 30 seconds. Just speak life. Say something kind. Say something encouraging. Just give them a go ahead. Hurry. Quickly. Quickly. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. Quickly. Just say it to them. Speak life. Speak life. Come on, just about 5 more seconds. Wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up. How many of you feel like the whole dynamic in the room just shifted right there? How many of you feel just a little bit lighter right now because of something somebody said to you? Can I just tell you, from my vantage point, there are so many smiles as I'm looking out. And a minute ago, you looked like you needed help, y'all. I'm just shooting straight. You're like, why did you just do that little exercise right now? Because a minute ago, some of y'all looked like some grumpy Christians. That's why. Some of y'all look distressed, depressed, and ready to give up. 30 seconds later, you're like, God is good. I think I'm going to make it. 30 seconds of smiling. 30 seconds of speaking life. Hebrews says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. How we may encourage one another. Listen, for some of you, when I just had you turn to your neighbor, you turned and you went, bam. You were just ready. You just bam, you started speaking life. The person you're talking to, they started feeling better. They started feeling good. Listen, there are some others of you, when I said turn to your neighbor, you're like, well, you heard the guy. Struggle Street. You know why? It said, let us not give up the habit. Let us practice. It's because some of y'all are out of habit. Some of y'all don't practice it. If I were to talk to the people around you and say, hey, how many adjectives would you have to use to describe your leader before they got to encourager? How far down would they have to go for you? For some of y'all, 13, 14, 15, 20, 30 adjectives later, we're still listening for encourager. To be a good shepherd, to be one who's going to equip and pass on, you got to be an encourager. The last thought is to deploy. Discover, develop, deploy. I'm going to wrap it up with this because we're out of time, but just know that the beginning of deployment is not the ending of development. That would be a myth. Because just because you deploy somebody, you don't think I'm now finished developing. You never stop developing your leaders. This is not a set it and forget it. You're constantly discovering, developing, and deploying. Here's the next thought on deploy. You should not, I wrote these as myths, so that's why I'm stumbling here my words. So let me just say it that way. Two myths regarding deployment. One would be that the beginning of deployment is the ending of development. Here's a second myth. You shouldn't deploy a leader until you have perfect circumstances. Listen, there are some leaders around you right now that you're looking at them and you're going, there's potential there, but they're not ready. And in some situations, that is the case. So I'm not talking about reckless leadership. What I'm addressing is you cannot be so frozen and paralyzed waiting on perfect scenarios before you give somebody a shot, give somebody a chance, because leaders learn to lead by leading and having somebody close enough to pastor, to mentor, and to develop through the bumps along the way. How many of you had it all figured out when somebody gave you your first chance? How many of you look back right now at some of your first swings of preaching or leading worship or being a youth pastor, and you look back now and you think, oh dear Jesus, what were they thinking? That'll be for me. So who is it that God has brought into your world of influence? It's about a who, not a what. It's not about a pipeline. It's not about a system. It's not about annual goals. It's about people. It's about a who, not a what. It's about people. Who are you raising up? Are you discipling them to be disciples? We're here to equip the saints. We're helping people find their calling. We're here to be pastors and shepherds that care for God's people. Hear me today. We're here to be spiritual leaders that raise up spiritual leaders. We're missionaries. We're worship leaders. We're youth pastors that are raising up the next ones. Those who are coming up, we're seeing potential in them. It's not about building my name or protecting my pulpit or holding on to the reins. We're raising up the Elishas, and we're saying we want there to be a double portion on their life. Outrun us, outpreach us, outsing us, outlead us. Why? It's all about the who. Are you with me today, church? Who is it that God is speaking to your heart that He's calling you to raise up? As we get ready to wrap up the Equip Conference, I hope that you've gotten some tools. I hope that you've gotten some ministry nuggets, some ideas, some things that God is speaking to your heart. I know He's working on all of us individually, but my prayer is as you get ready to return home, there's some face, there's some name, there's somebody, I'm about to pray here in a minute to close this up, there's somebody that God's speaking to you and He's talking to you about, He's bringing them to your heart right now. There are faces, there are names of people, you're like, I've never thought about him or her serving as a small group leader. I've never thought about, well, that person was just so busy, I hated to. Listen, never apologize for calling somebody to a great kingdom commitment. Never. Don't say no for them. Let them wrestle with that between them and God. Nobody will ever be offended when you go, I see Jesus in you. Well, I'm so busy, I can't believe you. No, I just see Jesus in you. I think you could be a difference maker. Nobody's ever offended by that. Don't say no for them. Who's God bringing to your mind? Who's God bringing to your heart? Like, well, I don't know if they're quite ready yet. Okay, don't do something reckless, but quit. Don't suffer from the paralysis of analysis. You're just going, ready, aim, 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 aim. No, listen. Give them a shot. Give them a chance. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?